we got the alternative energy. Find nuclear free autonomy.
And welcome to the Radioactive Show, produced at the studios of 3CR Melbourne and heard nationally on the Community Radio Network.
Hello, this is The Radioactive Show, and today you're going to hear a show from our archives just before NAIDOC Week in 2021, and the NAIDOC theme that year was Heal Country. The show features the show features staunch anti-nuclear warriors, Kukutha woman and warrior Ani Sue Coleman-Hasseldine, Dual woman and elder Vicky Abdullah, and the late and great Arabunda man, Uncle Kevin Buzzacott. I'm Emma Crunch, and I took a lot from re-listening to this show I made in 2021. I think it's just as poignant and important that we take heed of these wise words in our present day fight for nuclear free and peaceful country.
Hello, I'm Emma Crunch and this is the Radioactive Show. Today's show was produced on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation on which I live and work. I give my respect to Wurundjeri elders and acknowledge their sovereignty has never been ceded. It's NAIDOC Week, and the theme of Heal Country resonates strongly through our previous Radioactive shows. For today's show, I've looked back into our archives and found some powerful interview clips to share. We'll hear from three incredible protectors of country, Kukutha Moola woman, Auntie Sue Coleman-Hasseldine, Jual woman, Vicky Abdullah, and Arabunda man, Uncle Kevin Buzzacott. The recordings of Auntie Sue and Auntie Vicky were both taken at the 2019 camp at Yeelirrie in Western Australia. Yeelirrie is the site of a proposed uranium mine that has been fought and resisted by Vicky Abdullah, her two aunties, Shirley and Lizzie Wonyabong, and many other traditional owners and supporters. Auntie Sue Coleman-Hasseldine travelled thousands of kilometres from her home in Ceduna on Kukutha country to get to the Yeelirrie camp in 2019. She is being interviewed here by former Radioactive Show producer, Lavanya Pant.
So you travelled thousands of kilometres to get here for 3 nights to be in Yeelirrie.
Yes, we're going to do that again tomorrow too.
So why is this so important to you?
It's really important because when I first started finding out about uranium and the damages, I thought I was on my own until I met up with a lot more people and had a lot more support than I thought. And just to come and support our people, our family over here, and to see everybody that's doing the same thing, it's absolutely great. Let them know they're not on their own, even if we are thousands of kilometres apart.
Yeah, and you just mentioned ANFAR. You're also the co-chair of the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance. Co-president. Oh, sorry, I got it wrong. Co-president of the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance. So you just mentioned how you got involved in ANFAR. Can you tell, for those of us that don't know, what is ANFAR and what is the meeting, that the annual meeting, all about, which is coming up in 2 weeks?
Well, ANFAR is the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance. And that was set up. I wasn't there at the setup at the beginning, but I don't know whether I was second meeting or third meeting after that started up, when I went looking for answers. ANFAR brings Aboriginal people and supporters from around Australia together. And we've been pretty strong and just niggling away at the government and, you know, getting the message out there that anything nuclear is not good. And we still, you know, like, I met Vicky through an ANFAR meeting. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known she existed. And it's that sort of thing that ANFAR is really good at doing, is bringing everybody together to share their stories and to work out a strategy on how to fight it.
Nani, so you mentioned Maralinga.
Yeah.
Can you talk about Maralinga for those that don't know and your experience and why?
There are three bomb testing sites in Australia. Montebello Islands was first, just off of Broome, and that the fallout from that just covered broom and all the Kimberley whatever and black. Then there was Maralinga and Emu Fields. All up there were 12 bomb tests. And then there was 700 or so tritonium tests as well. And we've managed to get some paperwork as to which way the wind went at each blast and superimpose that. And the whole of Australia and Tasmania is just black with radiation fallout. Maralinga was the homelands for Aboriginal people, nomads or whatever they want to call them. But then when they wanted the land to test the bombs, they rounded up some of the people. They didn't round them all up because our mob are really good at hiding. If they don't want to be found, they won't be. They didn't know what the heck was going on. And then, you know, there was one white fella sent out to get them, bring them all in, and he couldn't... Well, they couldn't speak English, he couldn't speak their language, and he couldn't do that, the territory that was required to get everybody in. So there was a lot of our people that actually died out there because of the bomb. And the mob that they brought back in, they displaced them in another area. And then a long way down the track, Native Title came out and they said, you have to go back to claim your own homelands, you know, your own tribal lands. Well, the people from Maralinga really didn't have much to claim because it's still, you know, really contaminated out there. And then there was generations that had been born in this other place that to them, that's their land now. It's just a really vicious little circle that's going on with the government making up all these rules and making us, or trying to make us obey them with threats. Like that homeland's the Native Title. They say they've given the land back to the Aboriginal people, but if miners got an interest in there, they take the land back again. The Aboriginal people have no say except to say, okay, we'll accept your $1 million or whatever. That's the only say they've got in it. Otherwise, they go without and they take the land anyway. So there's your Native Title for you. It's a nasty, evil thing. Yeah, Maralinga spread far and wide. Maralinga, Emu Fields and Montebello Islands. Because it wasn't just where they set the bomb off, because the winds took it everywhere.
Can you tell us about your experience with Native Title and how the government has curtailed Native Title rights over your country for the nuclear industry?
Well, yeah, it's not just the nuclear industry either. It's for other mining, drilling in the Head of Bight, or drilling in the Great Australian Bight. Any time they give you Native Title, they can take it back. If you don't agree to their demands to let mining happen on your country, and there's another law there too, Section 23 or something it is, that enables the miners to remove and destroy Aboriginal remains and artefacts, and there's like a clause there that allows them to do what they want anyway. Over the years, I've found out that I've tried to work with Native Title. I thought, great, we're going to have a say on controlling our, protecting our land. But the truth of it was just wheeling and dealing in real estate, stolen real estate too, for that matter. And the only way that I can see forward is to fight them out of the courts. The courts are all on their side mostly. And just take it on. And if I'm a rebel, well, so be it. But we need to let the rest of the world know that Australia's not the beautiful country that they all think it is, and the government is really looking after the people. Because if the Aboriginal people lose in the end, everybody will lose. Because it's these little kids' lives, their future, as well as ours. You know, they're all the same. We all breathe the same air. So we all need to work together. Whether they call it Native Title, homelands, or whatever they call it, it's nothing. It's just lip service. So we just have to fight against it.
Got a question for Auntie Sue. I haven't, and some of us might not have been to her country. So can you tell us a bit about your country? And if that's too broad a question, can you tell us about rock holes?
Rock holes are a major part of our country. My tribal people came from inland. Every summer they'd go to the beach, and every winter they'd go back inland again. So we had the best of two worlds. We had bush and beach. And there's plenty of stories around how the Rockholes were formed and Seven Sisters Dreaming, and we're struggling to hold on to the sites. They'll never take away the stories from us because that's in us, but the sites themselves are in danger, and it's a big area, I guess, that we look after. And the fights that we have to have with mining companies, oil drilling people, you know, just to protect our cultural way of life, and not just ours, but everybody's, you know, even fishermen, if the whales. You know, we're thinking about all of these things when we're fighting different companies, and they just keep us on our toes all the time. But we've got beautiful country too. I go out usually twice a year to clean out rock holes to make sure that the water supply is good for the animals, and the stuff we can get out of there. Jem got emus out a couple of weeks ago, but we can pull camels, dogs, anything out of those rock holes because they're deep. If anything falls in, the sides are just granite sides, so even a human's not going to get out. Some of the, yeah, they won't. They'll die in there too. But we're pretty good at safety with everybody. But we like to keep it clean, and because the miners say, oh, nobody's out here, nobody lives here, nobody's looking after the place, then we turn up. And we don't live out there permanently anymore, but we're turning up all the time to look after our sites, which is a real pain in the rear end to them. Sometimes we play hide-and-seek out there. We seek and they hide, you know, trying to catch them. We've had one blockade, and I class that as a win because they haven't been back on that rock hole area at the moment, but they're around other places. And we've just got to keep battling so that try and kick them all the way out.
You're listening to The Radioactive Show and have just heard Auntie Sue Coleman-Hasseldain being interviewed at the Camp for Country in Yeelirrie in Western Australia in 2019. For several years since 2011, a yearly walk for country has been held in the Goldfields region of Western Australia. It brought First Nations people and supporters together to travel country for a week or several and learn about and resist the nuclear proposals on these lands. In 2019, organisers held a camp instead of a walk, which I and most of the Radioactive Show team were lucky enough to go to. This next very special recording is of Juar woman Vicky Abdullah speaking by the fire on a warm, starry night. Vicky begins by describing how she first met the walkers.
I used to live in Willina at the time. And used to travel up and down to Kalgoorlie, to Leonora, to Walloona, and this is my uncle and auntie, rest in peace. They had a farm, and we used to go down to Kalgoorlie to get all the cooked food and all that wheat and bit of stuff. Yeah, and the last time I was driving back up to Walloona, and I was thinking, oh, looking at these people on the side of the road. I thought, who's these crazy people here walking on the side of the road holding flags? And took much notice, and just been doing these trips every third week. We sort of had the weekend in Leonora, and I bumped into Uncle Cato. And I asked him about it. I said, who are them mob there walking on the side of the road carrying flags? They're working for country. I said, I know, really? Oh, yeah. So I just kept on going. Then he asked me one day, are you going to come out? And I think yous were between Yeelirrie and Albin Downs. And when we pulled up, everybody was sitting around a circle. I stood way back, long way. Didn't want it to, you know, get in. Stayed away until the next morning, and looking at these people, talking. And that's when I first met Jeanette. And she came over, oh, welcome to country, you know. I was, oh, yeah. me, I don't know nothing about, you know, use mob, you know, trying to stop this uranium. Yeah, and it took me a while to sort of sink in, you know, what was going on. So Uncle Kato asked me, you sure you're going to be right? I'll give you 4 days. 4 days, and I said, yeah, okay, I'll try. Well, there's a road there, I'll hitchhike. But I sort of, the stories, you know, you hear around the world and around Australia what this industry is doing. And so, I'm getting comfortable now. Got really comfortable now, and I'm still here with the group. Yeah, and now that been amazing, you know, just coming out on country. Well, I didn't really sort of, because I worked on mining companies, industries, catering, whatever, you know, and I sort of didn't, you know, focus properly on, you know, looking after country and that there. So we just only sort of go out on surveys. That was my sort of little income, but I don't go out on things like that anymore, so just want to protect it now. So yeah, and met a lot of friends, families, like everyone say, especially Uncle Kev and Honey Sue, or everyone say, we are one big happy fungi family. Mm-hmm. And I think we still are. And you know, I'm just trying to get other family members to come out. No, you're right, they said, no, don't want to come out. Or, you know, it's really hard to bring people out to and try and teach them, but we get our grandchildren out here, and they walk the country, and like I said to my grandchildren and my children, you know, you've got to start doing this here. Come out, look after country, start learning, cleaning rock holes and teaching the people he comes from, you know, especially overseas, you know, people. And, and what we do, what I do, like people, like, come from overseas and that they, I exchange gifts to people. And I think the last person I gave someone is Jim. He's all know. And I'd done a big painting. It's not dots or anything, it's only three colours, red, black and yellow. But at this time now, I'm been really happy to see yous all here, and you know, when I see yous, I get really happy that yous got other lives to go and do other stuff. I get really sad. But sometimes, you know, when we do our walk, I say to everyone, let's turn around and go back. You know, start from Leonora and walk back this way. I think my first WANFA and ANFA was when I went over to, I think we went through the middle on Bali bus. Oh, yes, in the country. Started getting nervous. And I said, Jesus, what I'm going to say at this thing, and for meeting and that there, and I said, like I said, I didn't really know what was going on and whatever, and I'm hearing everyone, you know, talking. It gave me more confidence to talk and speak now, so I think I've been on the committee for 4 years, I think.
Conned in every year.
Getting conned in every year, so, yeah, and I like to really, especially, you know, my two aunties, I never sort of really get to thank them, you know, but we always stick together and, you know, because I have moved away from Leonora, but always get in touch with families, the crew in Perth, Frio. We had a lot of good times, and it's still going to happen. I think, you know, one thing is to be us all together as one. We stand as one. We speak as one. Share things as one. And be happy. Do what's right for our country.
Auntie Vicky Abdullah, speaking by the fire at Yaliri to a gathering of community and supporters, many of whom have been involved in resisting uranium projects in the area for decades. Earlier we heard from Auntie Sue Coleman-Hasseldine, who explained that she met Vicky at an ANFA meeting, the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance. Auntie Sue is now president of ANFA, and we'll now hear from the other ANFA president, Uncle Kevin Buzzacott. This audio was recorded when I heard a phone catch-up with Uncle Kevin during the heart of lockdown in August 2020. Uncle Kevin was at his home in Adelaide, hundreds of kilometres to the south from Arabana country, which includes Lake Eyre and the Sacred Mound Springs, and of course is also the site of the BHP Olympic Dam mine. We reflect on the challenges of staying connected as a nuclear-free and peace movement while being physically isolated. Now, in July 2021, the conversation seems just as relevant. How can we stay connected across state and First Nation country borders in these times of rolling lockdowns? How is it that mining companies are able to continue with impunity? I hope hearing Uncle Kevin reminds you of the good fight.
Thank you and the mob over there. Had a bit of a breather, so next year you're on.
Yeah, we should all be ready to go by next year after we've had all this time resting at home.
I don't know when. Yeah, it'd be good to get out there and see what's happening. And
yeah, everyone's also missing that, you know, the anti-nuclear community and the gatherings that happen every year. Like, I guess this year probably, you know, there won't be an in-person ANFA gathering, and it's important that we stay connected or that we stay strong to keep fighting.
Oh, look, we're just one big family, us mob, and, you know, environmental mob and greenies, and we're one big family. You get out there and have a little party and look after each other, and this is the big war. It concerns everybody, all the people, and we'd like to see everybody out there set up a good camp and do some graffiti work when you paint. About when are you planning the rad tour?
Well, hopefully there can be another rad tour next year. I mean, that was also, of course, had to get cancelled this year, but it'd be great if we can have one and, you know, get the people from the cities who've been stuck at home all this time to remember the rest of the country, and no way better to do that than getting out there. As you know, I know, like, my first rad tour was when I met you, and that definitely has kept me fighting ever since.
Yeah, and it'll be the same with the new mob you bring out. Every time they come out, they join us, and they don't want to leave us. They like fungus. They stick to us like fungus. And we love them. We just love it. Well, we've got a big job to do. And we've got to look after this alert. These people have got no right, the BHP in this case, have got no, and the government, the state and the federal government, and all the shareholders, they have got no right to destroy that land. It's not their land. It belongs to the future, the kids of the future. And it's up to us old buggers to look after the place. That's our role. We have to take care of our place. We've got to stop these mob from damaging Mount Springs and the lake and other sacred sites and the poor other animals up there. We've got to look after all that. But as I speak, there's big rain up there, big flood. Our lake would be just about full.
Oh, wow.
And the rivers are coming down as the big rain goes through there on the weekend. And I think there's more coming. So, be prepared for, you know, if you can't treat the alerts like it's your own, then you can expect the worst to come. We get more virus of another kind. get another wave or whatever, you get more bushfires. And as I said before, they're not natural disasters, they are man-made.
Mm.
And one day it'll click, stupid man will click, and we'll show them how to look after our country.
And yeah, thanks, Uncle Kev. I think, you know, if there was ever a time for people to wake up, 2020, surely...
Now's the time. What does it take? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, you've been calling out for it for so long now. You really are a warrior of the long fight.
Yeah, no worries. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's really great to hear from you and hear your call to action and to keep people remembering what's happening out on the land. And hopefully we will be gathering and there'll be a call to come out to your
That'd
country.
Yeah, you're all welcome. I just want to thank 3CR and Friends of the Earth and ACS and all the other crew for helping us in the past and the future so much. And it'd be good to catch up. I'm going to be fronting BHP soon with the water bill. I'm bringing out that water bill again. I'm going to retouch it up with mine. They're just clicking in with me now. And we're going to be hitting them with the water bill, plus looking at the damage, the destruction of sacred sites, what's the sacred sites worth, and maybe pay the rent. They've been up there for that long, running around the place and destroying the country. So we need good lawyers.
Great. Yeah, about time BHP paid the rent for all they've been doing.
At the same time, it's a peace movement. It's a peace movement. It's to stop further destruction from happening in this country. You know, getting rid of the racists, the black lives, and getting all that death in custody and, you know, destruction, no more. Just crazy sacred sites.
Yeah, it's all linked up, isn't it?
It's a prevention move. This is prevention. We can show people, we can prevent things happening in the future. How to look after the country, how to love the country and all that. And we can educate people about how we should live. And all they need is for these mob to come down and sit down and talk with us. Don't play these games. No little tricks with politics and whatnot.
Mm.
Them days are gone. We're all onto them now. We've got them surrounded. Well, okay, and thanks for the listeners out there. All the best. I hope everything goes, everything clears up soon so we can catch up and learn. We've got a lot of healing to do. You know, we've lost a lot of people for all this stuff.
Mm.
Sky's the limit of what we can do as far as peace, making peace goes.
You've been listening to The Radioactive Show, a special NAIDOC Hill Country theme week edition, featuring conversations from our archives. We just heard Arabana man Uncle Kevin Buzzacott speaking fighting words from the lockdown in 2020. Earlier were recordings of nuclear-free legends Kukutha Mula, Auntie Sue Coleman Hasseldine, and Jiwa woman, Auntie Vicky Abdullah, recorded at the Yaliri camp against uranium mining in 2019. The Radioactive Show is produced for 3CR Community Radio and broadcast nationally on the Community Radio Network. You can podcast our shows at 3cr.org.au. Under Programs, find Radioactive Show. The ACE Collective of Friends of the Earth Melbourne is our wonderful ongoing supporter. I'm Emma Crunch and I hope you've enjoyed hearing the voices of our staunch nuclear warriors this week. Thanks to former and current Radshow producers for getting out there, taking recordings and spreading the nuclear-free future.
You've just been listening to a Radioactive Show from June 2021 and that show itself dipped into the archives of the years prior to that. I hope you found the show as powerful as I did when re-listening. And here's to a nuclear-free and peaceful future.